Colossians chapter 2, reading at verse 6. Verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Amen.
Good evening. Should we just pray before we start? Heavenly Father, we ask that you will just open our eyes to the wonderful truths in your word. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. It'd be good to have that passage open before you. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15, page 1185. I'm sure you've had one of those moments when your breath is taken away, an unexpected view, you turn a corner, and there is a beautiful view displayed before you, or the clouds disperse on the mountain to reveal distant hills and lakes. We were in Barcelona a few years ago now, and we caught the train to visit the cathedral, Sagrada Familia, and as we came out of the underground on a busy city street, looking at the map, trying to see which way we should be going, getting in everyone's way, I turned to say that we should be going this way. But my breath was taken away. Before me was the Sagrada Familia, spectacular and magnificent, reaching up to the sky. And as I came to read tonight's passage, I stopped in wonder as I read the first verse. My mind turned from all the other things it was occupied with, and wow. Colossians 2, verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. We have seen that Christ Jesus has been brought to the church at Colossae by speaking, by preaching and teaching the true message of the gospel. If you cast your eye over chapter 1 and verse 5, which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel, and in verse 6, this gospel is God's grace since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. This gospel is all about what God has done through the earthly life of Christ Jesus. It's a message of the rescue from the dominion of darkness and a bringing into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So Paul speaks of the Colossians having faith in Christ Jesus, having received Christ Jesus. And John uses the same word in the opening of his gospel when he says, speaking of Jesus, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The Colossians, in receiving Christ Jesus, in believing in him, have faith in him. So you could expect the verse 6 to say, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Saviour, we have been rescued from the dominion of darkness, reconciled to God. That is the work Christ Jesus has completed. Jesus did come into the world to save sinners. Jesus is our Saviour. But verse 6 says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord. As a believer in the Christ Jesus, you have received Christ Jesus as Lord. You have believed in Christ Jesus as Lord. You have welcomed into your life Christ Jesus as Lord. Lord. Verse 9 and verse 10 of chapter 2 tells us about this. Verse 9 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. You have received Christ Jesus, in whom all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." Jesus is God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things altogether. And verse 10 tells us that he is the head over every power and authority. You have received Christ Jesus, the head over every power and authority. You have received and you have believed in, you have welcomed into your life the one in whom the fullness of God lives, and the one who is the head over every power and every authority. There is no one greater than this Jesus. He is, as it were, has come knocking at your door, and you have welcomed him in. And we wonder on such a thing. And there is more. We too have been brought into this wonder by Christ Jesus. For verse 10 tells us that in Christ you have been brought to fullness. The North American Standard Version says, "And in him you have been made complete." And the English Standard Version says, "And you have been filled in him." Fullness in Christ, complete in Christ Jesus, and filled in Christ Jesus. From this passage, we are going to see what this means for us and for Christ Jesus. So let's just concentrate on verse 11 for a moment. Verse 11, "In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." Circumcision is a ritual from the Old Testament instituted by God on Abraham's family. The cutting of a small piece of flesh from the male body. And you can find this story in Genesis 17. It was a sign of the covenant between God and man. Circumcised people were to be the benefactors of the promises of God. People who would receive the blessings of God. They were God's people. Not to be circumcised was to be cut off from God's people and God's blessing. It mattered to God whether you were circumcised or not. Chapter 1, verse 13 tells us that we have been brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Now, in being brought into this kingdom, we have been circumcised by Christ. As with this circumcision, it matters. Not to have Christ's circumcision means you have not been brought into the kingdom. But Christ's circumcision is not like Abraham's, which was by human hands. So let's try and get our heads around this. Our verse says that Christ has died and was buried and was raised to life. Believers in Christ Jesus have been baptized. In the words of Peter in Acts of the Apostles, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." And we have the whole self ruled by the flesh. Other translations use different language, such as sinful state of human beings, the body of the flesh, sinful nature, and the body ruled by sin. So at your baptism, on your personally receiving Christ Jesus as Lord, at your acceptance of him as your Lord in faith and repentance, our whole self, ruled by the flesh, has been buried with Christ Jesus. Our pre-conversion self, our old humanity, the people we used to be, not part of us, but the whole self, ruled by the flesh, has been buried with Christ, and it is dead. This is Christ's circumcision, not just a small bit of flesh, but the whole self ruled by the flesh. Our old humanity, the body ruled by sin, has been put off and buried with himself. But God has raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And as well as sharing in this death, we also share in his resurrection through faith in Christ Jesus as Lord. We too have been raised to life. Words from a song, the old has gone, the new has come. What Christ Jesus did then, the Christian shares with him now. And if I can use this image, that we have become part of an awe-inspiring picture. Receiving Christ Jesus as Lord, Christ Jesus in whom the fullness of God lives, Christ Jesus who is the head over every power and authority, and we were dead in our sins, in the circumcision of our flesh. We were, but Christ Jesus has circumcised us, and that flesh lies buried in his grave. But God has made you and me alive with Christ. Christ Jesus was raised from the dead, and we too were raised to new life through faith in Christ Jesus. Just casting your eye at verse 13. God forgave all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal debtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. We are in that glorious picture with Christ Jesus, who in all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Christ Jesus, the head over every power and authority, and me and you. If you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, made alive in Christ, new creations, the old has gone, the new has come. All our sins have been forgiven. There is no condemnation. The charge of our legal indebtedness has been cancelled. God has taken it away, nailed to the cross. And we are freed from the powers of the kingdom of darkness. Through Christ Jesus, God, in verse 13, says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And wow, it takes your breath away. What God has done in Christ Jesus for us. But let's go back to our verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. What do we do now? We are to continue. We are to stick with what we have received. We have received Christ Jesus and we are to continue with him. We are to stick with him. This means being rooted in Christ Jesus. It means being under a Bible ministry that proclaims Christ Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 28 has Paul saying that we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. It might mean for you daily Bible readings, or joining a house group, or meeting up with someone to read the Bible together. It means continuing with hearing and learning and understanding Christ Jesus through his word. We are alive in Christ Jesus, and the expectation is that we will grow, that we will be built up in Christ Jesus. And we will find more of this in chapters 3 and 4 in the coming weeks. But some of those building blocks are labelled as putting to death, clothing yourself, setting your mind on, submitting to, loving, devoting, serving. A life of godliness, doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we're told to be strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And as Paul prays for the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 9, that we continue to ask God to fill you with knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. This knowledge of his will is what you have already been taught, the gospel of Christ Jesus, the word of God. Stick with what you've been taught, Paul tells the Colossians. And he says, overflowing with thankfulness. Just let me quote from a commentary by Dick Lucas. And he says about overflowing with thankfulness. To be bursting with thankfulness is a true witness of the Spirit within us. For the voice of thanksgiving speaks without ceasing of the goodness of God. It claims nothing. It sees no merit in man's receiving, but only in God's giving. It marvels at his mercy. It is the language of joy, just because it need look no longer to its own. It is an expression of dependence on another. It is the speech of the psalmist and is the natural tongue of the apostles. It is also heard on the lips of the weakest Christian on his knees. Here is a fine test by which we test the authentic quality of our spiritual growth. To be filled with gratitude is to be filled with the Spirit of Christ. The Christian rejoicing in this blessing of a thankful heart will have his eyes fixed upon the right person and the right place, Christ Jesus at God's right hand. So I've tried to look through these verses and look at who Christ Jesus is and what he has done for us and what he has given us. And there is a sense of catching your breath and bowing in gratitude. Not for anything new, not for anything that has been told before. We are looking what has been preached and learned and understood 2,000 years ago by a church at Colossae. And it's the same message for us, the same message for us to stick with and to stick with Jesus Christ. But as we come to an end, we come to an end with a warning in verse 8 that says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ." Everything about our culture says that moving on is best, that new is better than old, and that progress is courageous. But staying still is to be stuck in the mud and stagnant. Staying still is boring and cowardly. Staying still means in danger of being overtaken and coming last. The Christians in this letter want to be better Christians. But the danger is that some of the church are saying that there is more. That there is more than Christ Jesus. There is more than you've been taught by Epaphras and Paul. There is something new that you've not heard yet. And Paul says, don't be taken captive by such ideas. And the danger is that people taking us captive are the very people who are trying to encourage us in our Christian lives. So there is a warning that not every Christian book that may be recommended to you will be good. Not every Christian leader on the TV will be helpful. Not every conference you're invited to will teach the gospel of Paul. And not every worship song you hear on UCB will lead you to Christ Jesus. In our information-filled world, we do well to see to it that we aren't been taken captive through hollow, deceptive philosophy, which depends upon human tradition and elemental spiritual forces. I think the answer is to make much of Christ Jesus. You want to hear his name. You want to read about him. You're looking out for his name. I picked up a yearly devotional book and I flipped through the pages and God was mentioned, but nothing of Christ Jesus. All the right Christian things said, but not a mention of Christ Jesus. I don't know whether there's anything wrong with it, but it's certainly not making much of Christ Jesus, and it's not for me, and I won't give it to you. I read a biography recently of God doing great things in the life of this man. Spectacular testimony. But I didn't take the book. It didn't make much of Christ Jesus. Not much of a mention, and I'm not passing it on. I can't qualify this, but it was something that caught me last night on the telly, and it was a young band. I don't know what the correct word is for a music band, but some young lads from apparently from Manchester on the telly with an orchestra, and I was looking out for the saxophone players, actually, and to my delight, one turned up for a bit of a solo. But the title on the song flashed on the screen is something like "The One I Believe In." And I looked up, and the young lad said, "We're going to sing a song about Jesus." Oh, my heart warmed. This was late at night. I couldn't tell you a word he sang, but at the end of the song, he said, "Fancy me crying on telly." And I sort of warmed to that, and I thought, you know, the singer made much of Christ Jesus. And there was no need to speak about Jesus. There was no need to let his emotions get the better of him as he sang about Christ Jesus. It's another Saturday night, isn't it? It's another church service, another week, another Monday. And in the humdrum, in the ordinary routine, let's lift our heads up. As I did from that map on that Barcelona main road, wondering which way to go to get to the cathedral, but looking up to see before me the place before me, more glorious than I could have believed. We have received Christ Jesus as Lord. In him, all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. He is the head over every power and authority. God has disarmed the powers and authorities, and he had made the spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross of Jesus Christ. And this Jesus Christ has brought you and me to fullness. He has put off the whole self ruled by the flesh. It was buried with him, and me and you have been raised to new life with Christ Jesus. God has made me and you alive with Christ Jesus. All our sins have been forgiven. There is no condemnation on you. The charge that stood against you has been nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. So continue to live your lives in him, rooted in him, built up in him, strengthened in the faith as we were taught from the Bible, and let's overflow with thankfulness to our Heavenly Father for Christ Jesus. Amen.